you and appreciate the use of your facility.
Anytime.
Thank you. With that, again, we do appreciate the county and Mr. Chairman, you taking the time to come down and sit and talk about this. I want to, I think it's our first time officially to introduce our new city manager, Matt Brower, and welcome.
Offered condolences to him earlier.
But I just want to, we're going to start right there, and let's just go around the table and everybody can get an opportunity for an introduction, and then we'll get into the heart of the meeting.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Matt Brower, and it's been a new city manager, and it's a pleasure, real pleasure to be here.
Susie Heinbachel, Ocala City Council.
Carl Dodd, Marion County Commissioner.
John Priester, City Council.
Charlie Stone, Marion County Commissioner.
Randy Ewers, Mayor of Ocala.
Stan McLean, Marion County.
Daniel Owen, City Council.
Kathy Bryant, Marion County Commission.
Kit Gwynn, Ocala City Council.
Mike Amsden, Marion County.
Lee Niblock, County Administrator.
All right, and I think Ms. Rich possibly will be joining us a little bit later on here shortly. So with that, to the county commissioner, I know I delivered the agenda, Mr. Chairman, over on Tuesday. I hope, has everybody got it, had that and had the opportunity to flip through that. Coming off the Doing More for Jobs, the 25 initiatives for action, Mr. Chairman, that the county had put forward a couple months ago. As we know, Initiative 18 had stated discussions with the city and the county for movement into a CRA discussions, and we appreciate the time again to do that. What I'd like to do today is as we set the stage on this, obviously the CRA is going to be a tool that both county and the city are going to need for future economic development and job creation and things of that nature. Part of that CRA, obviously in its location at 27, includes the Magna property. And today we'd like to take the possibility of dual tracking, or at least having conversations that dual track both of those from a CRA standpoint, kind of big picture, but then pinpointing the Magna property. As you know, I had delivered when I came over to the commission meeting and requested for this. We had sent there was a joint resolution in October of 2009 that the commission and the city had voted on to get staffs together and start talking about infrastructure needs for the Magna property. And staffs on both parts, I know, have done a very comprehensive comprehensive job of getting all of the numbers, all of the, you name it, from right-of-ways to medians to curb cuts to water and sewer and everything else that goes through that. So we have that. I know we, Mrs. Heinbachel and Commissioner Zalek, Mr. Priester, and Commissioner Bryant, being a little bit somewhat new, we had this and some stuff had started. We do have staff here today that's going to be able to go through some of those particulars. But what I'd like to do for this meeting is trying to say, you know, from a policy standpoint, that as we're kind of 18 months into this, and then just with the county initiatives moving in here in the last 60 days on this 25 initiatives, is to try to get maybe some updates from staff, see where we're at, and try to start driving some action and some direction for staff, and start getting, ultimately, I think, an agenda item on both of our agendas in the very, very near future that will proceed forward. 20,000 unemployment, I don't think, is anything that we're proud of in this community, and it's not going away. And it's going to, we're trying everything we can to do to help it go away. The documents that you have and all of the staff's presentation, I've kind of viewed it and been thinking about it for a couple of days. I'm going into 10 years in an elected position here in City Council, and we all have set in numerous and hundreds of workshops and studies and things of that nature, and there comes a point where everything gets studied. You start connecting the dots, and that becomes a vote and some political will to start moving some things forward. And I look at everything that staff has done up until this point on both sides, and there's great work on both sides, and there's just some, I think, final little details that are going to take at the commission level and at the council level of finalizing those things. The document and everything that the staff has done for right now is kind of yes, we can on economic development. I would hope today becomes a meeting of yes, we will. And I think as you see the laid out from staff, also Mr. Gray's letter, if you got a chance to read that, does a real good overview of where both positions have been with the staff, that you'll see probably within 6 to 8 months the yes, we can goes to a yes, we will, to a yes, we are. And then probably a year from now, as the last spike possibly gets driven into a rail spur and the last piece of asphalt gets laid out there, that we'll then be in position to, as a community, say, yes, we did, and have an industrial park and the potential to start looking at not just talking about economic development, but beginning to develop our economy and doing that. So with that, I'm just going to, Mr. Chairman, you can speak for, obviously on behalf of the county and see where we're at, but just try to start driving some dialogue and some direction for our staffs to see what the potential is out there. Again, dual on the CRA, but then also bringing in the Magna property and see where we can move forward.
Thank you, President Owen. Commissioner Stone has probably worked on this more than anyone on behalf of the county, and obviously I think all the commissioners have been briefed by Mr. Gray and his partners and or his clients that he's representing. So I think that anything that's going to be presented today probably won't be anything new, but I think it's a great opportunity to sit with you all, kind of be able to find out, get the overview, figure out where we're at, where we need to go. Quite frankly, I think this board has shown a propensity to, you know, we want to create action. We're with you. We've talked about plans and studies and all those kinds of things, and so we're ready to take some action. I would like to, you know, I feel a little bit like I'm grabbing like the, you know, the grips on the car, you know, where you're, you know, so you know, but it's a good ride. So, I think it's a good one for us to get a hold of, and so we're excited to hear the presentation this morning, and I believe our board would like to, you know, see where we're at, and then take some positive action sometime here in the near future, and so we're ready to go.
I'll just go to any elected officials for anybody wanted to chime in at this point. Mr. Stone, if you got anything that you want to, does anyone from elected officials have any comments for right now? I think, actually, Mr. Gray, I'm going to ask you if you would come forward, and, you know, your letter stated, I think was a very good overview of where we stand today and where we're at. So if you wouldn't mind just kind of going through some of that and let you have the floor, and appreciate you being here.
Thank you. We'll try to make a pretty concise presentation that covers the letter and maybe gives people who haven't had an opportunity to be briefed a little bit more background on how we got where we are and where we think we are. We thank you for the invitation. We recognize that you are stewards of the public's funds, and that we are facing in Ocala a crisis almost in the situation of jobs, and the issue becomes what is the best way to expend public funds now to work on this particular crisis. We believe that this particular project is one of the primary elements of getting started on that project. Because I'm not sure everyone has met everybody, one of the owners of the project is with us this morning, Mr. Joe Nesbitt. And we also have pretty much the development team, which includes Bob Farner and Jeff Head from Farner Varley, civil engineers. Jonathan Thigpen is, I think, the consulting traffic engineer for everyone in the room. Paul Robertson is the project manager. I will say that probably other than their selection of legal counsel, and I've worked on projects of this scope before, this is a team that can handle a project of this scope because it is a big project, both in size and not necessarily in complexity, interestingly enough, but in size of the project and the volume of work that's going to be needed over the next year. It is a big project. Sometimes you look at an aerial picture of it and you forget that it is 500 acres. But as I'm going to discuss later, the infrastructure that would be part of this project really is going to serve, I believe, eventually 1,200 acres of a massive commerce corridor along the eastern side of I-75, including in that the Clifton property immediately to the north, and once the 35th Street Extension Bridge is over, be it an interchange or a flyover, that opens up all of the next property owner, and there's one, a single owner for 550 acres there. So we're talking about positioning a large number of acres adjacent to the interstate, dead center of the state for logistics purposes, and so it is a bigger picture than just our particular project. A little short history on the Magnum site. The property was originally acquired in multiple parcels by Magnum Entertainment Company, which was a publicly traded company. They owned Gulfstream Park and other racetracks around the country, and they were originally going to build a racetrack on the property. There were different variations of that, but ultimately Magnum Entertainment, as the economy began to sink, being in the entertainment business is not necessarily a good thing for entertainment companies. Magnum went into bankruptcy, Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and eventually the property was sold. However, during this time period, we had originally worked on land use on the property with the thought of a racetrack and retail and related uses. But as the Magnum business plan changed, there was a change, and so the instructions came, and actually, and a big point here, is we began working on the land use on this 2 years ago. Magnum instructed us to move forward and get the property positioned for land use and with land use and zoning as a business center. Magnum had a sister company that was in the business park business, and so potentially they were going to develop it. So we've been actually working. Part of it's been for Magnum Entertainment, part of it since September of 2009 for Ocala 489, Mr. Nesbitt's company. We've been working on this for 2 years, getting land use and zoning in place. This particular project is recognized as a high priority project, both by the resolution and a detailed study that your respective staffs jointly did in September of 2009. It's called the Magna Project. I will note to you that most of the proposals that we have made to the county and city are generally consistent with the allocation of infrastructure responsibilities that are considered in that report. And that is a somewhat of an important issue in terms of your assessment of our request, because the report analyzed the cost, and then it analyzed the return to the public, the return to the respective governments of the project. And our allocation of who does what in this project is very consistent with the Magnum Project study. Also, this project was rated as one of the two high priority projects in the business park evaluation study done by Boyer Stahl. So there is several notes to be made regarding the project. It is very interesting for something of this scope. There is not a single contingent element to this proposal. This is not a short sale. This is not, there are no land use issues. It's unusually clean in my experience for a 500 acre industrial commercial infill into an urban area. The property was purchased at a bankruptcy auction for cash by the current owners in September of 2009. We are not dealing, nor will we have to deal with a lender. This project basically could not be financed in the normal credit markets. But fortunately, we have a property owner with the financial wherewithal to buy the property, to spend considerable sums since then, and be ready to prepare to spend more sums. All of the land use and zoning for the project is in place. The project has a mixture of medium industrial, light industrial, and some small element of retail and the frontage on I-75 in the southwest corner. All of the zoning is in place. And so there are no comp plan delays. There are no zoning delays. We are ready to go. We could deliver a entitled piece of property to a purchaser today. The question is delivering the infrastructure to service that property. The infrastructure that we are talking about today will serve more than the 490 acres of the Magnum site. In the Magna report that your staffs did, they analyzed the infrastructure as servicing 630 acres, which includes the Clifton property on the north and some smaller retail parcels in the southwest corner. I would propose to you that really it would also service the next 550 acres, which is we refer to in discussions with you as the Baldwin property, which is a logical extension as 35th moves north. And that needs to be kept in mind. This is an investment that stages up the first phase of what I think would be a phased development running north along I-75. All of the general infrastructure needs, other than site-specific, in this particular area are in place. The city has available utility services and capacity. And most importantly, this site has, as you know, we plan to extend rail into the site. And so it has a connection to a rail line. We have a representative from Florida Northern here today, if you want to ask any questions. But that rail access and the rail facility in the site, which would be an inland port or transfer facility type facility, makes this site unusual and a very preferred site in the current market of people looking for sites in Florida. As I noted earlier, we're proposing an allocation of funding consistent with the Magna study. Some of the infrastructure we're going to talk about today is already underway in the design and planning stage. The county has already designated the 35th Street four-lane project on its transportation plan, and the county has already entered into a contract with Juan de Ares Company to do the design and permitting on that project. That, I think, has a projected completion date of around the end of this calendar year. We met separately with groups of the staff for the city and the county, and of course we've met with a number of, as many of you as we could, a number of city council members and commissioners to brief you on this. The 35th Street project is eventually planned to be a connector to extend over I-75 with either an interchange, which would be preferable, or a flyover, which would be an interim solution. 35th would turn north from the Magna site, basically at the southwest corner of the Clifton property, and proceed through the Clifton property, then turn, and it's planned to cross I-75 on the alignment of 49th Avenue. That would allow what we don't have now, which is a fairly direct vehicular path to go from the north side of Ocala across I-75. Currently, no matter where you are, if you are north of 40 and you are going from the north side of Ocala to the west side of I-75, you are going through one of our community roadblocks, which is the interchange at US 27. We do have the issue, long-term issue of the US 27 I-75 interchange, which needs to be reconstructed, redesigned. There's different theories as to how you would do it, but that process has already started. There is already the initial study underway, which is required by the Federal Highway Agency as a precursor to getting to the level of doing a design and fix on the interchange. I think Jonathan Thigpen can probably give us an update on the projected time for that study being finished. The process would be that once that study is finished and accepted, then that study studies all six of the interchanges in Marion County. Once that study is finished, then we would be in the position where we could drill down and look specifically, for instance, at, I'm not saying this is the only interchange that needs work, but look specifically at the US 27 interchange, go into the process of design and permitting, and the other process there is going to be eventually That is a community problem. It expands all across the north part of this community, and eventually we'll have to generate a funding source for what will be a pretty expensive project there. Included in the work that we're proposing in what we call Phase 1 is a rework of US 27 from I-75 coming back towards Ocala, beyond the intersection of I-75 and north west 35th Avenue, which is where the barbecue restaurant is. And at that point, once we get beyond 35th, the work would taper back down to the current work. But this is the first stage. This work would be the first stage of eventually reworking that whole US 27 corridor on both sides of the interchange and reworking the interchange itself. What we are looking at in this project is eventually a 1,200-acre commerce center that would be served by the infrastructure. Next point I'd like to make is that this developer is already substantially invested in the project. The property was bought in a cash bid at a bankruptcy auction in September of 2009. Since that date, the developer has done complete geotechnical analysis of the property. We can tell you there are no geotechnical issues with the property. It is all buildable. The developer has retained two very respected engineering companies to separately. Farmer Barley will handle the civil engineering. Kimley Horn will handle traffic analysis and design of traffic facilities. So we have the team in place, and we're already spending money. All of that work was handled over a one-year period that led to the meetings we had with the city and county staffs in early December. At that time, and we're going to give you a take-along handout that has a lot of the same information that was used at those particular meetings, but at that time we had identified required traffic improvements. Mr. Kingpin can talk in a little bit more detail about it. We had identified the projected cost of those improvements, and we had made separate but coordinated proposals to the city and the county as to who we thought would handle what. Included in our proposal was a proposal that we would handle the design and permitting of the water and sewer extensions and of the US 27 work, and eventually of the work on what we call the spine road, which is a connector that goes through the project and then connects to 35th. Because that way we have the ability to get on the project immediately, move through the design and permitting stage. All of that would be with coordination and approval by the city and county. So we would propose that we would do that. Our plan eventually in this project is there is a massive amount of additional work. If you've been on the site or if you've looked at it closely, it has a lot of topography, which is attractive but not necessarily so good for a business park. There is approximately $5 million worth of mass grading and adjustments to the site and DRA excavation work that would be required to take the current table of the site, table it into a business park location, create all the stormwater drainage facilities necessary. So we have a large expense coming down the road on that. Our plan, our goal here has been from day one to identify every element that would be on a site selection checklist and have an answer for every element. And we believe we have answers for every element except for what we're going to start discussing today, which is eventually ending up with either a single agreement or separate agreements, one with the city, one with the county, that specify this is who is doing what on this project, and this is when we're going to do it. Because when you're going to sell a site to a site selector, They're not interested in hearing that we're going to go work out this detail, we're going to work out that. We think we can best serve the community if all of us can get together, we have a plan, we allocate responsibilities in a fair method, and we move forward, finalize that, and then we can move forward. Let me make a couple of general comments regarding the Magna site. Ocala is blessed with a great asset, or one existing factual situation, which makes us a natural distribution center. We have the confluence of I-75, US 27, 441, and 301, and actually what is becoming a much more important element in the picture, we have the CSX line that will be their main rail line for freight traffic from the Tampa area going north. Those elements identify Ocala as a distribution center. That's partially why years ago Kmart came and built the distribution center. It's why we have other distribution centers. But I can tell you from personal knowledge and involvement, the absolute stamp on the Magna side is this. I was involved on the private side with the Walmart project, the Walmart distribution center, and the Cisco center. This site was Walmart's preferred site. Walmart tried to work out a deal with Magna Entertainment. They were still thinking it was going to be a racetrack. They did not want to peel off 230 acres of the site, and that resulted in Walmart moving to two sites, eventually one on 326. But when Walmart first came to Ocala to look at a site, this was a site. The other project was a Cisco project. Cisco was talking to the city about the city property. As that began to appear to develop some issues and whether it would be sold, Cisco attempted to purchase part of this site and part of the they were going to purchase all of the Clifton property, and they were going to sit on that side of the project. These are not just two giant companies. They're probably the two most sophisticated logistics companies in the world. I like to tell people this little aside. Most people would think that the CEO of Walmart would be a retailer or a finance person. Not true. The current CEO, Jonathan Thigpen, will pop up and say that he is a Georgia Tech grad, but the current CEO of Walmart and the immediate past CEO of Walmart are both industrial engineers, and they both moved to the CEO position from being the head of Walmart Logistics. And so the site in Ocala is validated, not by our own studies, not by just general guessing. When you have two of the most sophisticated and largest logistics-based companies in the world try to get not just in Ocala, but in this exact area, we're not worried about the site. What we've got to worry about is getting the infrastructure on the ground. The infrastructure work is relatively high in volume, but I would not say difficult. This will involve constructing a four-lane road from the south boundary of the property down 35th Avenue to a large interchange at the intersection of 35th Avenue and US 27. The interchange will be designed, and the take-along I'm going to give you at the end of the meeting, the interchange will be designed to handle turning motions for a large volume of truck traffic. Then we would rebuild, sort of phase one, we would rebuild to a large degree some of US 27 going back up, back out to the US, to I-75. The county's project, the 35th Street project, contemplates four-lane 35th Street from 441-301 west into this project. It's already on the plans and already under design, approximately to the western edge of the Clifton property. One final note. one of the things that we think will separate this project from many others and will also be of great community value is our plan is to bring a rail line in and create on the property what some people refer to as an inland port or a transfer facility. This is the way transportation is moving in the rail world. And I know I've bored all of y'all with the long story, but basically there is a huge change in how freight will be transmitted, particularly from the Pacific Rim to the middle part of the United States. For that reason, CSX is building one of the world's largest rail centers in Winter Haven. They're going to, as we generally know, double line the track through Ocala. That will become the equivalent of an interstate highway. Local rail service will require something along the lines of an inland port or a transfer facility. CSX is building their own transfer facilities for larger areas, so they believe that is, they're telling you that's the way it's going to go, but we're not large enough. But we have an opportunity, if we move quickly here, we have an opportunity to locate a transfer facility within this project, which may, and there's only going to be so many transfer facilities in the North Central Florida area. The process is freight is unloaded from rail cars. Most of it is containerized with a very sophisticated system that quickly unloads cars and transfers them to trucks and take them to the local facilities. So we have included in the project, and we have a separate engineering firm handling the rail spur process for us that's experienced in that type work. We have gone over all the details. The rail spur is workable. We have worked out we've worked out some adjustments we've had to make with Ocala Electric Utilities because the planned route is basically down their high voltage extension line. Final note is talking about infrastructure. It's a 500 acre project, services 1200 acres. To do the infrastructure package that we're talking about today requires acquisition, either through acquisition or, if necessary, through condemnation of a grand total of 1.5 acres of land. It's a very unusual situation. Magna, you may recall, on 35th Street, there was houses on both sides of the street for years. When we began to tee the Magna project up, Magna purchased all the property except one parcel, unfortunately, purchased all the property on the western side of the road. So for a project of this scope, the land acquisition is also very unusual. We've got our team here. Our presentation is basically the same that we presented to your staffs, and I know your staffs have analyzed it and trued up and considered some of our numbers. But we can commit to you that we're prepared to move forward. We think that if we can move forward quickly, you can see this project. Included in the handout, I will also give you a timeline that Farner Barley has generated showing permitting and construction timelines for different elements of the project. I can answer any
questions.
Does
anyone have any questions for Mr. Gray?
You say you've got that document that talks about the timeline and the cost?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, can you just tell us what those would be?
Let me...
Is it in our package?
No, I'll give it to you right now.
Okay.
These are the same. These are the same costs that we have given to the staff.
And I probably have it somewhere.
And the timeline also. I think there's plenty of time.
Anything else, Mr. Gwynn?
Not right now.
Okay. Mr. Stone, did you have a question for Mr. Gray?
No. That's a great idea. I was going to answer this, but you may have to call a partner. You mentioned earlier about the interchange study that's been an ongoing process for all six interchanges in Marion County. I'd just like to know when that study would be completed.
I think Jonathan would probably be the better person for me, or Greg Slade.
Jonathan, thinkingly born, that countywide study is expected to be completed by the end of the year. It's being performed by the FDOT's consultant. What that study is doing is getting the federal highway concept approval of changes. So it's really not getting into any design of any individual interchange as much as you have to get through that step. And so that's expected to be by the end of the year.
And I haven't seen all the information on all the necessary improvements on the 27 interchange to accommodate phase one of this project. I don't see in our packet that an overview or extra turn lanes, things like that. I guess when I start looking at the improvements on US 27 interchange and try to correlate that to phase one, part of my concern is, are we doing enough with those proposed improvements there? Or is phase one going to be such a small part of the project? I guess my concern goes down to, if phase one only requires a little bit of an improvement in US 27, maybe that's not what I had hoped to happen. I thought phase one would be to such of a level, creating, i.e., a number of jobs that would dictate a lot more improvements at US 27. So what's the correlation there?
You know, we have identified modifications for phase one that would, I think, support about half of the project in acreage of industrial development. And I have slides that we'll show in a little bit to show what those are. Knowing that you have a long-term need, you know, any bigger improvement will have a measurable impact in reducing the congestion or improving operations. Our modifications for the first phase are based on the level of service standards in the comp plan and what satisfies that requirement. But you'll never build it cheaper than you could as soon as possible now. You'll never, you know, I'm expecting construction pricing to outpace the cost of borrowing money right now in the next 10 years, and there's other factors too. But I'm just still, at the same time, I fully expect that about half of this project could get built without, if we make these phase one modifications, without the interchange degrading to an unacceptable level of service. And I'll illustrate that more a little bit later.
Okay. Not really knowing all the details on phase one and what's projected to be built in phase one and what's the job creation, I don't know. But I guess my concern was when I first looked at it, I thought, gosh, those improvements probably would be required in the near future, even without developing Magna property. So my concern is that we go in and not do enough in 2027, and we have to come back in this short period of time and have to, you know, do a lot more improvements on 27 when we might should maybe go above what we need now. If you're going to do the project, why not take it so it's going to be a long-term improvement versus having to come back in this short period of time and have to reduce that interchange itself. But not knowing what's happening in phase one, I kind of stepped out. So. But if you're confident, you're pretty confident that what you know about phase one on the property, what you proposed improvements on the 27, it will match up anymore.
It will be consistent with the law of what you say you want the roads to be at a minimum. Now, making an investment to make it operate better and support more development in the area is a policy decision.
Anyone else have any?
Let me add a little bit to that answer, to you, Commissioner Stone. This project can, the Magna site alone, is going to have approximately net of right-of-way, approximately 400 net developable acres. That can handle 4 million square feet of buildings. And so when we're talking about phase one, we're talking about a lot of square footage. Phase one is roughly a 50% build out. We're talking about 2 million square feet of buildings. And we're also talking in terms of job generation. The Magna study projection, which is pretty consistent from our view with our projections and what the industry standards are, the Magna study projects that the job generation, the direct job generation, on-site jobs for this project, is 4,800 jobs. So phase one is not a small sort of bootstrap. It's 2 million square feet and 2,400 jobs. But I agree with you, long term, we want to identify the big picture on 27. I just am not sure what we do not think would be a good idea is to delay moving forward as long as we're reasonably comfortable that what we're doing is going to get us pretty good ways down the road. We'd love to sell a 2 million square foot box to somebody, but there are not that many of those around.
Anyone have Mr. Zalek?
Another question. When we're looking at other rails further north central Florida, you said we're obviously on a time frame. Who else are we competing with?
The logical locations that would compete with us, because part of it is they take the freight off, they put it on a truck, they truck it. So you have, and then the customer gets a single bill that's allocated between CSX, say Florida Northern, the companies that operate, own and operate the transload facility. But to me, now, Heath is here from Florida Northern, but to me, logically, Gainesville and Sumter County are the locations for another potential transfer facility in the north central Florida area.
My second question is, how much of the 500 acres would you guys allocate to the rail transfer station?
Well, we actually, in the handout that I gave you, I don't have an acreage on it, but if you look at the page that has a conceptual plan, we're showing two facilities, and that box, it does have the acreage. We're allocating 80 acres of the property for transfer facility. It could be more, it could be less. We're showing two pretty substantial facilities here. It would probably start as a single warehouse facility. So it's a pretty good bit of acreage.
So we know how many jobs are allocated per square foot for building. How many jobs per square foot?
That would be a higher one. There are different studies, but one general rule of thumb is that pure warehousing generates approximately a one job per 1,000 square feet of warehouse. And then as you have more intensive uses, manufacturing, these transfer facilities are high in number of employees within a smaller space. And that one per 1,000 square feet, and then higher as you go into some manufacturing, is consistent with what your staff studies are. And I talked to Michael also about that number. So
what's the... I didn't hear a number, I'm sorry.
The general starting point would be to assume a pure warehousing, if everything out there was a distribution center, would be one job per 1,000 square feet.
Okay. And what about rail transfer?
Just depends on how big they think their market is and how big a facility they would want. We're in the process of identifying prospective developers for the rail. There are companies that are in that business.
Okay. Still not answering.
No, I'm just curious. We don't have a current answer for the number.
Yeah, that's two to three. Two to three per thousand. Thank you.
Mr. Stone.
Mr. Gray, you just mentioned with the commissioner's question about competition. It would be competition. You have any awareness or knowledge of facility that's been proposed in Sumter County that could affect this entire project? Certainly on the timeline build out, depends on who goes first, I guess, but are you aware of another?
I'm aware that there is a company looking at a project in Sumter County. That's why I identified Sumter County as a competitor, really, for anything that we do. But at the same time, I think there are people looking for sites in North Florida. There is a company looking for a site in North Florida that requires rail service. It's a manufacturing facility. But the critical element is we've got to move forward and get all the checks on the checklist done, because those companies, we're on the radar screen, but until we can deliver a defined timeline as to when you can generate a pad, you're not there. We're pretty close.
Where's Sumter County at? Or where are they at in the process?
Wildwood is Sumter County.
So they have all the specs done?
No.
Not quite all of them.
Hmm.
Everybody that looks for these kind of sites looks at multiple sites. But we have a project that doesn't have, we have difficult checks for everybody, which is, now we've got to spend some money and get the infrastructure on the ground. But we don't have comp plan issues and whether the DCA is going to exist or not exist or any of those issues. We're down to site development and infrastructure development. That's why I think this is a doable deal, and we can do it within a pretty compressed timeline.
Do you want to, Mr. Gwynn? Jim.
Back to my question earlier, and I'm looking at this timeline on the next to last page of this agreement. Is it 2013 that I'm looking at that would be, could be completed?
That's construction on the 35th.
Well, okay. Yeah, 35th is, yeah, that's
right.
And then the other ones, I think, correspond to some of the other ones, building construction.
Right, the others, that's the construction on 35th. Yeah. And that's a the thing is, we do 35th, we can permit a site and have capacity on 35th now for a large part of phase one. It's not a capacity issue initially on 35th. The issue is heavy truck traffic on what is already a substandard road with narrow lanes.
Right.
But that would not stop us from permitting a site now. We have enough capacity for a substantial number of square feet on 35th as it exists. You're planning to build 35th as the east-west corridor road across the north part of Ocala. And so that's not really an impediment. The other timeline items are really focused on generating the sites within that property. And the rail spur is a little bit longer timeline.
I guess we better get started.
Anyone else have any questions? Again, if I can reiterate, Mr. Chairman, the night y'all presented the doing more for jobs, and correct me if I'm wrong, I remember you had made a statement that these weren't all the initiatives. There may be more, there may be less, that it was a very flexible plan, that it was just simply a starting point. And again, as we sit here, just so, we've already spent an hour talking about the Magna, and the Initiative 18 talks about a CRA. It again is just a sense that that in and of itself is a chicken or the egg kind of thing. We can stop the, I don't want to say stop the discussions, but center on the CRA first. But the Magna property, in a sense, gives you a reason to start having to talk about a CRA. So it goes back and forth. So I just want to continue to throw that out. And to Mr. Stone, I share your sentiments on it. It seems like every time we get a road project in Marion County at the ribbon cutting, it's already obsolete. I remember 31st, that kind of way, it got opened up, and boom, we immediately needed the other two lanes. But having said that, the competition with Sumter County, I don't think we're in competition with them in the sense that we haven't even entered the game yet, and that's what today is about, is getting to where we've got a ball field for somebody to play on. And I look at the opportunity that we have today. Mr. Gray brought up, the Cisco and Walmart. We would be dominating the game
you know, if we could, you know, obviously we'd all love to go back 10 years and have embraced those. But what we have an opportunity, it seems like, right now in these, you know, difficult times, and again, we've talked about it, all this unemployment, but it would seem that the County Commission of 2011 and the City Council of 2011 have an opportunity right now to not put this community in another awkward situation of when a Cisco or a Walmart comes in that we have nowhere to put them. And so then we have to fill our public meeting halls with don't do it and do it, and don't do this or don't do that. And you know, don't destroy the horse parks, don't destroy the golf courses, don't do this. I mean, this comes to a point where this has been brought to where it's now a simple direction from elected officials to staff to start connecting those dots. Yes, the 27, is it big enough the minute we build it? I don't know. It would be nice to have that problem, you know, and just to say we got too many trucks running in and out of there every day, and we need to widen that road. And it's not that it's, you know, lack of planning or poor planning of that, but getting to the point that, yes, we're going to embrace having a site that puts us into the game, that gets us on the map, because we're going to continue to be, as Ms. Gray said, you know, companies are driving down 75 and they are looking. When they're looking on their maps, they're going to continue to look at us, and that's that first question is, what do you have for us? And so that's the point of where we're trying to get to is hey, we do have a ball field for you to play on. We'd love for you to play right here. So, again, that's just sort of the dual track that I see today of coming out of the – again, Mr. Chairman, of the initiative of CRA, but we spent a lot of time on the Magna, so I just think the two kind of, in a sense, go hand in hand. So, Frank, did you have that?
No, I was just saying I agree. I said I think it's two parallel paths here. I think the first one is to go ahead and have direct staff to start working out the agreements within the next 60 days with Mr. Gray and his client. I think we have moved forward with 35th. It's in the process. It's being designed. And I think the parallel path, so that we do not get held up with the CRA, is to take the CRA and start running a parallel path with that and getting a map and defining the area that everybody's really talking about, because it's just a concept now, but get more definitive in that, and then we need to meet again on that issue. But you know, I'm ready to move forward. I think the county has been moving forward, and we just need to work out the details so they can get rolling. You know, obviously, Wildwood has always had a huge spur down there. I mean, it's a mega spur down there, and I think this is, I don't think it's as large as the Stark, or what's the one north, just
yeah,
north, before you north, get to 10.
Yeah, North Stark, yeah.
Baldwin. Yeah. But, you know, they've always had it, but it is something that we obviously need here, and there's no doubt about it. There is some accessibility by rail to some of our facilities, primarily in the shores, but right around I-75 is where I think that we really, truly need one. I mean, the distance between the shores and I-75 sometimes is an issue with people looking to locate, so... I think we got everything we need. It's just a matter of working out the details and getting the timetables in line with each other and get the ball moving.
Mr. Chairman?
I would echo Commissioner Anderson's sentiment. I think that maybe what I would maybe make a suggestion to my members would just be that, Rick, would you be prepared to at least have a discussion about this on the 15th? And I think there will be some questions, or possibly be some questions we'll come up with as we move forward with and whatever agreement it's going to be. You know, how are we going to, how do we see revenue coming back and some of those kinds of discussions. And I think that will be an issue that we'll have to, if we're going to enter, if we do a local agreement or if we do two separate agreements, I think maybe some of those things, I'd like to maybe know what our recommendations are. You know, do we do separate agreements? Do we do joint? However, you know, do we have a joint for part of it? Do we do a separate agreement for part of it, or whatever? So, and I'm not saying one's good or that. I'm just saying I think it's some questions that we need to have an opportunity to discuss as a board. And then, I mean, I'd be willing to put this on an agenda for, say, maybe March the 15th, the second meeting in March, I think it would be the 15th or something like that. So that would be about 45 days.
And I know, Mr. Chairman, our discussions that you and I had earlier before the meeting, you're talking about the possibility that the county may have to look at some priority list on mm-hmm. with the 35th. So, I mean, that's something y'all would be willing to
I think...
Get that quick.
Yeah, no, I think that's just a matter, that's why, again, that's just going to be part of a discussion that I think we can direct staff to, Monier's not here, I don't think, but anyway.
Don Atwell, sir.
Who, I'm sorry, okay. We don't need to get bogged down in the details today.
Correct.
And I think that, just to know, you know, 35th Street is already on our list. It's a matter of maybe just changing the phasing around and, you know, just possibly making sure we know where, how we're going to fund, you know, if we're going to do this, how we're going to fund it and some of
y'all
that stuff.
Y'all can mobilize by about March 15th. That would be great.
we'll be ready.
Mr. Stone?
And I concur, it is a project that is going to make a world of difference in our community, so I'm certainly going to do what I can within my power to move it forward as rapidly as possible. But I do want to make sure that everybody and all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed, and everybody understands their commitment and their responsibility. If one party says, yeah, we'll commit to do this, and the other parties are dependent on that, and then later on the party says, well, our plans have changed, we don't have the funding to do that, then that upsets down the part all the way around. So whatever the funding sources are identified, whatever portion of the project, it has to be spelled out and funds set aside and dedicated and put in some lockbox or something so that it goes somewhere else, because we can't. And I'll just give you some examples. I think the county is committed to do their part of 35th Street. That was a project that we had already identified that needed to be done. All we're doing is moving it up to a quicker timeline priority. So, and I think we have the funds, although I haven't seen them all in writing, but I think we have the funds to do it. But let's say this on the city's behalf, if you guys say, yeah, we're interested in the water and sewer, electrical, and all that stuff, and but you say, oh, wait a minute, we got other projects that come ahead of this, then that, there's no need to us to move 35th Street to a priority and build the road if the project does not have the other infrastructure needs. So it's got to be a firm commitment on everybody's part, and nobody can squirm out of it in 6 months from now. So
and I appreciate you saying that, Mr. Stone, and I can tell you just my little... 10% of being on city council, I'm committed to it. The days of trying to figure out where to stick the Cisco and Walmarts have got to come to an end, and we got to have a place. And we just have to do it. I jokingly thought I was going to wear a Nike t-shirt and say that just said, just do it. Just do it. We know all those answers. And I think some of those answers that you have concerns are, Mr. Stone, is what today is about. And it's the 10 of us setting that tone and saying, we know the questions, we know the answers, and here's what we expect from staff and setting timelines and saying get those things ironed out and moving forward. And and speaking with Mr. Gray a couple weeks ago and talking about the simplicity of how this is going to be funded or how we're going to pull these things out or whatever, wouldn't it be great on this side of, hey, we're committed, the infrastructure, the rail spur, the water and sewer, all of these things start coming together and voila, 2 years from now we have a tenant, we have a business out there going through, and all of a sudden there becomes the generation, tax revenue, utility things of that nature. So, and this will probably drive my good friend Mr. Gunning crazy when I get simplicity, because he likes to at least turn a simple statement into about 10 pages, but of it being as simple, that's right. A simple thing of once the property begins to start generating revenues, because they're one, obviously the ultimate is jobs out there. But this thing shakes out that the county's in $12 million and the city's in $9 million. Whatever those numbers end up being. So let's say 12 and 9 are the numbers. So as that property begins to produce, from a tax standpoint, something as simple as a joint agreement, the chairman was saying, every $21 that starts coming into that, $12 goes to the county, $9 goes to the city until at a point we're made whole. And where they go, and it starts that process of, hey, here we go. And we can have, we God knows we have enough accountants and people who can watch the money to sit there and say, hey, that investment that you made back in 2011, 2012, and be it 2015, 2020, whatever that is, we've got people working, we've got businesses here, and we as have, that's the different side, I guess, of the discussions of the CRA, so, which is why we're here.
again, let's talk CRA, but there's not, we don't have anything out there really that's going to generate any type of money right now to get into the Magna property to keep moving. So those are just things I hope we can all consider to move forward. But that's what today and the 10 of us are setting those directions and those kind of ideas for staff to start bringing back to us to say, here's some different mechanisms that we've got. We can move 35th up, and we can tell, you know, council standpoint from Matt, move up the water and sewer priority and let's go. So that's the goal I would hope for today. So.
And if you, Mr. President, it's certainly doable. Everything that you said is certainly doable. I've been on the commission 6 years now, and I've seen us say we were going to do this, and then it wasn't too long before another project came in that we thought was bigger and better, and we moved aside. I'm saying that if we make a commitment, it cannot be changed, and it has to be. The staff has a very good way of coming and saying that citizens of the county want us to do this prior to doing this. 35th Street, there won't be a tenant out there on that property for another year and a half. So let's use that money that you get set aside for 35th Street to finish up something down here. We'll always come back with funding on 35th. I'm saying we have to say, no, you are not going to do that.
I would suggest to you those same citizens are the ones who now sit and said, don't do Cisco and don't do Walmart, and now you fast forward and you show up at Wolfie's and you hear them over your corner, I can't believe Roadmaster didn't bring Cisco here. They'll be the ones that show up right there, turn around and say, you know, why you want to go spend that property out there at Magnum? I've got a hole in the middle of my road. Go fix my pothole, and it's those types of things. You folks know I'm right. Well, some of y'all are the ones that are in Wolfie, so don't say that you aren't.
Oh, and yeah, the Wolfies.
Wouldn't be the first one.
No, I was going to say, I mean, in the execution of all these agreements, it needs to be all three parties executing at the same time.
Sure.
And there needs to be action on, you know, the Ocala 489 LLC. So even if we go ahead and we get that road built through there, there's always been the thought process by the city. And I mean, there's probably tons of drawings laying around, and used to be the engineering building, to put that road through that piece anyway to make that bypass. So you don't have to come all the way into 27 and then hit the interstate. Just go ahead and build the bypass. So the agreement should be all simultaneously as we do our thing, the city does their thing, and 49 puts their road together. So we have the interconnectability of that bypass. And then what they do from there, you still have a benefit from the bypass, and you do open that property up. So it just all has to be firing on the same cylinders on the same day.
Mr. Chairman,
if I could make, I thought about it earlier when Commissioner Stone was talking kind of about the totality of the project. I think that's part of what we need to also realize, that we're going to make a commitment for the future of this project as well. You know, we're talking about the immediate, but I think that we need to, I guess I'm just saying to my fellow commissioners, think about this in the longer term, the bigger picture. There's an end to this, and there's a totality that takes place between 2011 and 2000 and whatever the final build out is. There's a totality there, and so you know, we just need to consider those things as we go through too. Not that I'm not saying that should be something that stops us. I'm saying that should be something that we take into account, that we're going to commit to this project for the totality of it.
And that's the dual track Mr. Hansen's talking about.
Right.
It's not one or the other. It's both, and then both can be accomplished. So,
yeah.
Does anyone on council have any comments right now at this point? Mr. Rich, I'm glad you make it. It's good to see you.
It's good to be seen.
Daniel,
yes. Mr. Goody.
Scott,
Jimmy Goody, 1531 Southeast 36th Avenue, Assistant City Attorney. I'm not going to defend myself against Mr. Owens' felony charges. I have a suggestion that for everybody in the room, council and commission and staff particularly, as well as the developer, and this sounds silly, but I think it could actually be important. One of the things you are considering is financing this project through tax increment financing, TIF. And we've been using that TIF in the same way. We've been saying CRA when we mean TIF. You can do a TIF in a community redevelopment area, but neither Mr. Gray nor I think that we're going to have to do a CRA for this area. The phrase, the whatever it is, acronym CRA, carries with it a concept of a blighted area, which we obviously want to avoid for the project. I'd like to encourage y'all sitting up here and encourage staff in the documents that we use here, let's refer to it as a TIF area, TIF financing, et cetera, and see if we can stop referring to CRA. That sounds silly, but it may not be in terms of the project's future.
So it's not silly, you're right on target.
Okay, thank you. Very seldom do I get that from my boss. or from y'all.
Hey, Jimmy, don't expect the same treatment this evening.
I think that'd be a good idea if we could try and remember to do that. Thank you.
That is a lovely shade of purple you have on.
I didn't know I was coming here, so he told me it's 7:35.
That's your compliment for the month.
If I could comment on that just for a second. While I understand the connotation, and I think that you know that there is a certain connotation that goes along with CRA. When you do it as a CRA, it may open up some other funding mechanisms that could be used. And so, while Jimmy, I agree completely. I think you know, unfortunately, that's the only term we have, but, you know, so unless we create a different term for it and have somebody accept it as a better term, I get it. I understand what you're saying, although it may be, if we do the CRA, maybe it does create some other funding opportunities.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask you a question about the CRA?
Sure.
If we, as a county and city, put in a CRA without any of the parcel owners,
Participating,
saying yes or no?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Rick?
You see, I've always thought was kind of initiated because the parcel owner really wanted it. And here we are talking about doing one, and I don't know how the parcel owners out there even feel about one. So.
I think,
yes. You can do it. There will be public hearings and opportunity for them to provide input, but they need not consent to it. And by the way, Chairman McClain is correct. Y'all may end up doing this as a CRA. Y'all may end up, because there may be advantages in it. In order to do it as a CRA, you have to have certain findings, including blight, which you know may not be appropriate or desirable for the site. But Commissioner McClain's right. You may do it. You may not. All I'm saying is, if you can try and remember until you know that, if you're just talking about TIF financing, just say TIF.
Gotcha.
But the city's done CRAs, and we're proud of our CRAs, and they've been very successful. But until we know what we're doing for this, that was my suggestion.
I understand. Yeah. I
he's right, too, that gotcha. We may end up doing it that way.
Gotcha.
And it's just labeled in the initiative. Mr. Anthony?
And Charlie, that's why I said we need to get the map and see what the scope of this is and where we're going to include or exclude. And I do believe that you know the property owners, business owners along there should be conferred with it and an opportunity to discuss it. But the CRA was very critical in North Magnolia just because of the contamination and some of the issues along North Magnolia because of the old gas stations, dry cleaners, and some other things that went on through there. So it played a key role. But it has helped the area. I mean, I pay it, and it has made a big difference. But I don't know that we're running into the same situation out there.
I think President Owen made a statement that he thought we should create a CRA from the north boundary by 75.
North line to the south line of
Quarter mile east side.
Lake George. Just run it all the way down. On the other side of that line.
Run it all the way down. Well, I don't know if it's everybody's wishes. If you look on the agenda, we do have some more detailed on the Magna site. But I think, again, where we were hopefully trying to head today was maybe a little more policy-driven than detail-driven. Obviously, we have access to both of our staffs as we move forward to agenda items on our respective meeting times that where each individual elected official could have time with our elected staffs, but Mr. Chairman, we want to bring Matt and Dr. Niblock into this time and try to start setting some guidelines and some dates and times of what we're trying to expect for our respective agendas. So Mr. Nidlock, I don't know if you want to, you've been sitting there very patient.
No, let's just give him some direction. It's an action plan, right? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Go ahead.
Again, I'll go back to my suggestion, Commissioners, is that we, on the 15th of this month, February, you bring back the, we'll have, we got all the, I don't think we need to have a more detailed discussion today personally. I think we're pretty comfortable with the information that's been given out. Obviously, Mr. Gray is always available to us. But I think for our staff's purposes, we would like for you all to be prepared on the 15th to have a discussion about this. I'm sure all the commissioners will be meeting with you over the next couple of weeks. Commissioners, anything that, you know, once we kind of start looking through these proposals or any of the things that Mr. Gray has presented today, please bring those, be prepared to bring those forward on that date. And then also our staff would be prepared to talk about possibly how we would, well, not possibly, A, funding, B, would be how we would want to be repaid, how that could work out. I think, you know, you and I have already had a little discussion about, yeah, 21 bucks or 24, whatever it is, and kind of splitting that up somehow. And then anything...
You've got the prioritization of the 35th discussion.
Well, I think that'll be part of our financing, would be prioritization of that. Commissioner Stone, I don't know if this is, I think we're prioritizing the interchange issue at this point. If we decide to move forward, that'll prioritize that for us. And then anything that commissioners, again, anything that you all feel that you want to be on that discussion that day, please make sure you get with our staff. But we will have a hard discussion on the 15th about how we're going to move forward. From there, I'd like to go 30 days, and we'll be ready to make a vote some second meeting in March.
Mr. Stone?
Assuming that most all of those projects are going to be in the city limits, I think the city owns a parcel that you had been on the shelf for a number of years that you had projected putting a fire station up there. I wonder if it would be advantageous. There is a parcel, that corner lot, that's going to have to be purchased or condemned for the entryway into the project. If you could get with that property owner, maybe do a land swap, and you consider moving your fire station somewhere along that or inside the project itself.
Okay.
Just for a thought.
We'll appreciate that, Mr. Stone.
Is that piece commercial, Daniel, the one we're talking about? The restaurant?
I don't know for sure. I mean, I think it is.
The only piece left is the restaurant.
Yeah. Matt, and then I guess my fellow council members, y'all have heard the county will be taking this up on the 15th on their agenda. If it's okay with council, we'd obviously like to get this on ours. And so, Matt, everything he said, I hope you wrote down, and it's the same direction. And then I guess at any point in time that the respective staffs have any questions for each other, obviously they can get together at that time. Mr. Stone?
Is our staff still meeting with each other on the basis of the work? That's
the one we started again yesterday.
There you go.
And the answer would be yes. Started yesterday.
Matt and I are going to continue the same meeting to break in across the street. There's that big lot that's trucks parked.
Yeah,
I think that's we're going to get 35th Street prioritized. You guys have to do the... I just don't know exactly where y'all are at. Are you guys...
There's water... Mark, do you want to come speak? I mean, we've got, utilities, water and sewer, electric. I mean, all things of that nature. So, and that's all on our side of the fence. So, we've got that. Anything else that anyone was at? I'm going to throw it to the audience. Is there anyone have any comments or wishes, desires that they want to throw into the mix here? Give everybody the opportunity. I think we've got some clear direction and look forward to moving past discussion and moving on to some action and seeing what we can do to it's not just about the site, and I've said this before, it's a shame that we've, and there's a lot of factors. It's not just local and state now. I mean, we've got world crisis, if you will, out there, and we see it on the news every day. But just for here locally, that you know, Marion County becomes economic development becomes a way of life, not of, oh my gosh, we see our unemployment numbers, you know, going up, let's do something quick. I mean, it simply becomes a way of life. And having sites like a Magna, as we continue to just start that, you know, it can start a ripple effect to where things will, you know, hopefully in a sense to kind of sustain themselves, start taking care of themselves to where, you know, we have the ability to accept newcomers and yet still enhance those who are here. So it's exciting times. And again, I hope this, you know, for me personally, that 2011 is a year that elected bodies came together and we moved forward and started taking some action. So again, I appreciate everyone's time. Does anyone have any further? We still have consolidation of fire. I'm going to be turning that to you here in a minute, Commissioner Bryant. But before we put the
President, if I could make a comment on that, and I know that it's been a good day. Why don't we get up today and go forward with what we got? We got plenty of work to do over the next couple of weeks. I don't want to squelch that conversation because I think it's one we need to have, but why don't we have it another day? And if it's a good day, let's get up. We've got some common ground being made here, and I don't think it will get contentious. I don't. That's my concern is that it's a good day. And, let's let the sleeping dog lie for right now. But I think it is a serious. It is a very important conversation we need to have.
Absolutely. And what I was going to add to that is, you know, unfortunately, when at your strategic meeting last week, and Commissioner Bryant brought that up on the consolidation of fire, which was on the agenda, I didn't even realize Chief DiOrio is out of town this week and is traveling, and I just would feel comfortable of having him to be able to be.
We do want to talk about it today, then.
See there?
I'm sorry, I didn't know we had an advantage.
Exactly. It wouldn't be a city county workshop if somebody didn't get slapped. So,
Commissioner, if you would defer, is that okay?
It was just a theory.
And it's a great. I think it's a great discussion that we need to have. No.
I would like, and I expressed some concern in discussions with Chief McElhinney. I would like maybe as in a precursor to that. Chief DiOrio, you know, just coming on in the last couple of weeks, I think it would be advantageous for both of them to sit down and have some face time over the next 60, 90 days and just start discussing.
No.
I just think they can schedule some time.
I'm assuming is Councilman Nguyen working on that? Who's kind of working on this? In other words, can Mr. Bryant, Councilman Nguyen, Chief McElhinney, and Chief DiOrio maybe?
Could you all start working together? And
yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, Stuart and our chief had been.
I
agree with you. Today's been a great day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. Maybe we can talk about Silver Spring.
Let's not. No.
At least there was a good day, sir.
Yeah.
Exactly. So is everybody good with that? We have Councilman Gwynn, Commissioner Bryant, and Chief McElhinney and Chief DiOrio are getting together over the coming weeks and spend some time together, and then we can call another workshop, Mr. Chairman, on
and
that.
And as soon as, you know, whenever.
And I do appreciate, again, Mr. Chairman, you allowing us the time at your meetings to come over. I think it's very important, you know, just for updates to keep those lines of communication going. And do appreciate you extending that few minutes that you give us at your meeting. So,
well, and likewise, and so your other members will know, I did come down Tuesday afternoon, and you were all in the middle of a very great debate. And I didn't think I could really add anything to that. So
we had bricklayers on one side, and tree huggers on the other. It was a fun time. So it was a fun time. But again, I'm going to throw back to the audience one more time. Is there anything that anyone wants to add as we move forward? I think we've got some clear direction here, Dr. Niblock, Matt. I think we've got some clear direction and understanding of where we're headed. So we look forward to February 15th agendas. at the county commission and the city council to try to get some traction on some of this and move forward. So with that, again, I do appreciate the time. And Jay, I think she's already gone, but again, oh, there she goes. Jay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Jay.
For letting us use your facility here. So, Mr. Chairman, anything else? If not, everybody have a great day, and we are adjourned.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm sorry. No.